Been reading a book this week. Couldn't get out of the house, so I've been reading a book. It's called Storm by Jim Cimbala. I didn't do that on purpose. It's just a good reminder. My house will be called the house of prayer. Are you listening today? You're either in a storm or you're headed to a storm or you're coming out of a storm. You better know how to pray. It's the only thing we have. We're getting ready to go before the Lord right now in prayer. So much of the time, I feel like you get quiet and just listen to me pray. That's not what the Lord means. Do you know the Lord can hear all of us at one time? Don't sit there and listen to me. Let's pray. Can we do that? Just lift your heart before God. Father God, we are so honored that we know that you are in this house. Lord, we know that your eye is upon the righteous and your ear is turned towards their prayer. Father, thank you, Lord Jesus, that you have invited us into the holy place this morning. Lord, you said that when we come before your throne of grace, that we would find mercy and help, mercy and grace in our time of need. And God, we are a very needy people, but Lord, sometimes we're so ignorant, we don't know how needy we are. God, we don't even know that we're in probably the worst storm of our life. America is in a storm, God, and we need the help of the Almighty God. Without you, we will fail. Only you can rescue us, God. Only you are our hope. I pray right now, Lord Jesus, that all the church would cry out to God and that you would hear us today, God. Heal this land, Lord. Not only heal our hearts, but heal America. Heal this world. Father, this whole world is hurting, Lord. Lord, it seems like the smarter we get, the dumber we get. God, we have got so intelligent that we feel like we can do things on our own. God, and we just get darker and darker and darker. I pray, Lord, for the light of Jesus to shine through this morning. Show us the way, God. Show us the way. We need your help. Father, be with our men at Men's Encounter. God, may they have an experience, Lord, like they've never had before with you. And Lord, as they travel home, God, I pray, Lord, for safety and protection over them. Lord, I pray for those that could not get out of their driveways today, God. Those that are watching us online, Lord. I know, Lord, you said, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together. But Lord, some of them couldn't today. So Lord, they're watching us. And I pray, God, that your spirit, Lord, would just go through this camera line. God, go through and touch them in their home today. Bring healing to the sick, God. Bring restoration to everyone watching, God. I pray, Lord, that they would know freedom of the spirit today, God. That they would feel the mighty power of God and know that they are not alone, God. That you are with us. Through every storm of life, God, you are still there. Father, we really are like Mary. God, we are broken. Lord, you said that he who's been forgiven much loves much. God, we have all been forgiven much. I pray, Lord Jesus, receive our love today. Receive our worship in honor of you. In the precious name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. It's been a couple of weeks since I've spoken. And then I had two different teams come and pray for me today. So no matter how you look at that, that's called a double anointing, right? And so we're not used to getting out of here till 12:30 anyway. Hey, Dave Allen is not able to be with us today. He was not feeling well, but today's his birthday. 88 years old. Amen. Can we just wish him happy birthday, Dave? All of us love Dave. And, I heard something from Treva's brother, Doyle, and it wasn't spoken about Dave, but it applies pretty well. It said that when God said, let there be light, Dave turned on the light switch. So I hope he heard that. I was planning on going on in the scripture, and I kept being woke up at night. And so we're in John chapter 3, and I was going to complete what Ray didn't cover the week before, but I can't get past John 3:16. Do you realize that John 3:16 is the gospel in a verse? Most people know it. Most people don't know it. Does that make sense? Most people can quote it, but they don't know it. They don't understand it. And so I want to talk just about a few verses today. And if it goes really quickly, I'll cover the rest of it. But it's just burning in my heart. And I've shared this with you before, but it's called the four C's. The four C's of John 3:16. It says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Can you just say thank you? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. That whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He who believes in him is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation. This is the condemnation. The light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light. Pastor Ray covered this so well, because their deeds were evil. For everyone practicing evil hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. But he who does the truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be clearly seen, and that they have been done in God. Father, I know your word is anointed. I pray right now for me to be anointed to speak your word, God. Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in your sight, for you are my rock and my redeemer. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you're visiting with us today, as I see some are from other churches, maybe that were canceled, God bless you. It's so great to have you. Just enjoy God's presence. The four C's of John 3:16. The first C is cause. Cause. Write it down in your Bible and say, well, I don't write my Bible. Well, you can today. Okay? I give you permission. Because when you go to share the gospel with somebody, you can just lay it out to them to where it's so simple. Cause. The first C is cause. For God so loved the world. It was not your idea. It was his idea. For God so loved the world. You are the world. You know, I believe that God created man and looked down and said, but I can't play with him. I can't talk to him. I can't love them. There's a separation between me and my creation. I love them, but I want them to come to my house. But we couldn't. We couldn't talk to him. One man, one time a year, would go into the Holy of Holies. And God said, that ain't good enough. I don't want to be represented by one person one time a year. I want to daily fellowship with my kids. For God so loved. You know, there's a theology that's going through. It's been around forever, but it's really gaining popularity. And it's this, that God predestined some to be saved and some not to be saved. Now, the Bible talks a lot about predestination, so you cannot deny that, that there is a thing called predestination and election. But John 3:16 is the predestination that he's talking about. For whosoever will. You see, God said, I want to make a way where my people can experience my love. Now, man, I believe, got into it and says, well, if God creates a way for some to come, he's got to create a way that others didn't. No, you won't read that in Scripture. He created the way that all can be saved. The Bible says in Romans 10:13, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord. Do you remember what everyone means? Everyone means everyone, right? Let's not overcomplicate the gospel. This is the simplest message that you'll ever hear, and yet it's the deepest message. Why is the church trying to get so theologically deep that we're losing the world? Let's go back to the basics. God so loved the world. That's the cause. Why are we gathered together today? Because God loved us. The second C is cost. God so loved the world that he gave. It was not your idea. It was God's idea. It did not cost you a dime. It cost him his son. For God so loved that he gave. Right? I want to look over for just a second. I love this portion of Scripture. In Ephesians chapter 2, he talks about all the darkness and how we walked according to the prince of the darkness. We are sons of disobedience. But then verse 4, chapter 2, verse 4, it says, but God, who is rich in mercy. Come on, church. If you ain't got a shout for that, you ain't got a shout. But God, who loved you, who gave his son, is rich in mercy and grace. Hallelujah. His mercy is new every morning, and I need it every day. There's never a day goes by that I'm not crying out for the favor and the mercy of God. I don't know about you, but I don't need it to stop in my life. I need the mercy of God. Rich in mercy. But listen to the next words. Because of his great love for us. What's John 3:16 says? He gave his son. Why? Because of his love for us. And yet we live like God doesn't love us. I'm serious. We act like he's going to get us if we mess up. That's the theology of the day. You better do right. I'm telling you what, just fall in love with the master again. He loves you, and the love of God constrains us. Even when we were dead in trespasses, he made us alive with Christ. You were dead, but because of Jesus, you are alive today. By grace, you have been saved. He made us alive together and raised us up together and made us sit together. You think there's something about the word together? It's called the church. The community of believers. The ecclesia, the called out ones, not the building. We are the temple of the Holy Ghost. Why did he love us so much? Why did he give his son to bless us? Did you get that? I don't even understand all of that. He made us to sit up here, and he made us, all I get is that he wanted something good for me. He took me out of the grave into this place called life so that I could experience the blessing and not the curse. And yet the church and the world thinks more about the curse than they do the blessing. We just need to fall in love with the Master one more time. We just need to focus again on the love of God. The Bible says the judgment of God or the judgment of man does not work the righteousness of man. Right? You can go to work and you can point out every fault to the people that you work with. Well, you need to quit doing this and you need to quit doing this and you need to... And I promise you, not one of them will draw closer to Christ. But when we preach the love of God, when they understand that God so loved the world, He gave. It was His idea. And when we fall in love with Him, now come on, listen to me for just a second. When we fall in love with God, we will want to follow Him so closely. I promise you, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. That's what He said. First C. I didn't get through that, did I? It says that in the ages to come, He might show the exceeding riches of His grace in His kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. You get that? He wants to show us the kindness of God. You know, I am forming a relationship with my biological father, which I've never had before. And I was talking to Carla, and I was telling her, I said, "He's so kind. He's a kind man." And she looked at me and she said, "Well, that's where you get it." And I started crying. And she said, "Now don't start crying." And I couldn't talk to her, really. I just had to leave. But I told Treva, I said, "No one's ever called me kind." And all my life I prayed, "God, I want to be kind. I want to be kind like You are kind." And when she said that, I thought, He's answered my prayer. See, I know the real Eric. You know the real you too, right? And sometimes it's hard for us not to focus on who we used to be. But because of Jesus, He's brought us into this kingdom that is so different than the world that we live in. So as we walk in the Spirit, as we fall in love with Him, you know, the Bible says that Jesus is the express image of God, right? As we fall in love with God through Jesus, that express image starts to live in us. Sometimes you don't see it in yourself, but others see it. Is that not good? Others can see Christ in you. Just stay close to the love of God. I promise I'm going to get through this. For by grace you have been saved through faith. You didn't earn it. You didn't even deserve it. But He loved you so much. He gave His Son, right? That whosoever will. First C is cause. Second C is cost. The third C is condition. That whosoever will. So you mean that all the world is going to be saved? No, that's not what He said. Whosoever will. Whosoever will believe. The word believe in the Greek means more than just a mental assent. You see, I looked this up this morning. I don't have much money on the stock market, but I got a little bit. The stock market right now is about 48,000, almost 49,000 points or dollars, whatever. If I told you today, listen, I know for a fact that the stock market is going to fail in this next week and it's going to go down, 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 down. Every one of us that has money would call our stockbroker and say, "Get my money off the stock market right now." And then I told you, but when it gets down to 20,000, reinvest, because it's coming back in a month. It's going to come back higher. You know what you would do if you believed me? You would act. You would call that stockbroker. Say, get my money off today. And when it falls down to 20,000, reinvest it. Why? Because we make a lot of money. Maybe I'm talking to the wrong group. It doesn't thrill you, huh? I don't know. It sort of motivates me a little bit. Are you following my point at least? You see, if you believe, you will act accordingly. If you really, really believe, it will change the way you function. As a man thinks in his heart, so is he. Proverbs said that. You are led by your most dominant thoughts. What are you thinking about? Are you thinking about the disaster to come? Are you thinking about the darkness? Are you thinking about, for God so loved the world that he gave his son for me, that whosoever believes, are you a whosoever today? I believe you probably are. I know I feel like I'm preaching to the choir today. But I believe also that we need to revisit some things in our life. I'm going to lead you, every one of you, I'm going to lead you in a sinner's prayer today so that you can revisit your salvation experience. Because there may be one person here today that has never prayed that prayer. That has never, and say, well, is it a prayer? No, it really is not. It's really just a surrender. It's really just saying, oh, Jesus, for the first time ever, I recognize what my salvation cost you. And I realize I'm a sinner in need of a Savior. I ask you to forgive me. That's all. That's all. The condition is on us. He completes the other three C's, but we have one big one. The condition. Can you believe? Say, what am I supposed to believe? That Jesus Christ was born of a virgin. That Jesus came from heaven down to earth, lived a perfect sinless life, and then died on the cross for you, taking the wrath of God and your sin upon him, and he paid the price for you, and he didn't stay in the grave. You know, so much of the time we stop right there that God died for us. Yeah, praise God, he died for us, but he didn't stay dead. He rose from the grave 3 days later. He went and he showed the Father, here's the blood of the Lamb. This is the sacrifice. This pays the price. Listen to me. I know we concentrate sometimes on our evil deeds. We concentrate on our sin. There is no sin that God's blood cannot forgive. Thank you, Jesus. Some of you have been way down in the dirt. Just like the song we sang about. And for those people, you know what the love of God is because God turned you around. I'm more concerned with people like me. People that maybe view yourself as good. People that's never been drunk, never been immoral, never got high. Maybe I'm the only one in this place. You bunch of heathens. We're all sinners. It doesn't matter what you did or what you didn't do. You were headed to hell. But God, who's rich in mercy and grace. Oh, thank you, Jesus. You didn't leave me in my sin. But God demonstrated his love for this. That when we were yet sinners, he died for us. Amen. The last C. Consequence. For God so loved that he gave, that whosoever will believe will not perish, but have everlasting, eternal life. And it doesn't start in heaven. It starts the moment you surrender. The everlasting, eternal life of God starts here on earth, and it takes us to be with him. I'm telling you, the fact that we can pray, you hear me? The fact that he said, now, since Jesus died, come on over to my house. Say, where do you get that? I get it out of Hebrews 4:16. Let us come boldly before the throne of grace. Why? Because you're a son of God. He who received him, he made them. He gave them the power, the authority to become sons. As a son, we get to go to dad's house and fellowship with dad. I get just about as excited about verse 17 as I do verse 16. For God didn't send his son into the world to condemn the world. I think some of us think that God just came to show us how terrible we are. No, the law did that. The law showed us we were sinners. But now we have a Savior. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He who believes in him is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already, because he's not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. So what does that mean? To really understand this, you have to go to Romans. In Romans chapter 5, I'm just going to read a few verses. I think probably they're up on the screen. Verse 6, 8, 9, 12, 16 through 18, I would have covered it all, but I knew we don't have that kind of time. He says, when we were utterly helpless, Christ came at just the right time and died for sinners. You ever feel like God was late? You ever think that, man, God, I wish you'd come yesterday. I wish you'd done this on this time. God's never late. Listen to me, because that's a word from the Lord. Are you listening to me? Some of you are doubting God right now because you've been going through a really hard time. And you said, just like Martha, if you'd been here, my brother wouldn't have died. He gonna live again, Martha? Well, I know he's gonna live again in the resurrection. I am the resurrection and the life. You see, the judgments of God are right. Whether they line up with you or not, his decisions, his judgments are right. Many of you think, well, God, I'm so thankful for this great grace that I have, and I thank you, Lord, for this new life. But why did I do all this terrible stuff in my past? Don't second guess the hand of God. That old Jew, when I went to Israel, he looked at me and he said, don't spit in the well you're drinking. And I said, I love that statement, but I don't understand it a bit. It makes pretty good sense because I grew up with a well. And so I sort of understand that. And he said, whatever brought you to Christ, don't curse. If it was the life of addiction that finally made you wake up and realize, I'm a sinner, thank God for it. Does that make sense? In all things give thanks, for this is the will of God. Not for all things, but in all things. So God, I don't know why we had the worst ice storm in our life in the last week. But I sure did enjoy a week in home. That was the nicest week in the world. Except all I could do was cook. I mean, I just kept making cookies or making biscuits and I gained 5 pounds last week. You know, I've been contemplating retirement a lot, you know, thinking about one of these days I'm going to retire. I'm thinking, if I retire, I'll be 300 pounds. You got me for a long time, folks. I can't retire. I'd say let's just all go to heaven together. What do you think, huh? At just the right time, Christ died for us sinners. But God showed his great love for us by sending Christ to die for us. That why were we yet sinners? And since we have been made right in God's sight by the blood of Christ, and since we've been made right in God's sight because we do right, and since we've been made right in God's sight because we come to church. Are those good things? Those are wonderful things. Because I worship. No. You don't deserve it. You couldn't buy this. And since we've been made right, you know what that is? Righteous. You've been made righteous. It's God's gift. He took your sin and he gave you his righteousness. What a gift exchange that is. Right? I don't have to tell you who got the worst end of that deal. Right? But thank God. We've been made right in God's sight by the blood of Christ. I was reading this morning about the Passover lamb. Put the blood on your doorpost. But if the blood is not applied to your doorpost, when the death angels pass, you'll be no different than the others. Your firstborn will die. Who's the Passover lamb? Jesus Christ is the Passover lamb. So that the death angel passed over our house. We've been made right in God's sight by the blood of the lamb. He will certainly save us from God's condemnation. He will certainly save us from God's condemnation. You know what God saved you from? God's wrath. God saved you from himself and his justice. When Adam sinned, sin entered the world. And Adam's sin brought death. So death spread to everyone, for everyone sinned. And the result of God's gracious gift is very different from the result of the one man's sin. For Adam's sin led to condemnation. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world. Why? The world was already condemned. We were already in that state of condemnation. We were going to hell without a Savior. But God's free gift leads to our being made right with God, even though we are guilty of many sins. Is that speaking to you? For the sin of this one man, Adam, caused death to rule over many. But even greater is God's wonderful grace and his gift of righteousness. For all who receive it will live in triumph over sin and death through this one man, Jesus Christ. Death has no dominion over, or sin has no dominion over you. Say, but I still sin. Yeah, you do. But you don't have to. Because God is greater. I know we don't like that. We like to think that we got to sin a little every day. You might be surprised if you just quit enjoying it so much. Do we sin? Yeah. Regularly? Yeah. Do we have to? According to the way I read the word, we don't. As we get closer and closer to him, God begins to separate that sin out of our lives. He wants to take those desires. Now, Paul said, I still battle with it. He said, I battle with this flesh. The things that I don't want to do, I do. And the things I want to do, I don't do. What's he talking about? He's talking about that flesh that you and I battle every day. Every one of us still have this battle is still real. How do you overcome this thing? What are you feeding the most? You know, the animal that gets the most food gets the fattest. Are you feeding the spirit? Or are we feeding the old carnal nature? I think that's our part. But I don't want to get away from this. John 3:16, for God so loved. So my part is to believe. Are you listening? My part is to believe. To believe in the power of God. To believe in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. To believe in that everlasting, eternal life of God that starts the moment I surrender to Him. I told you this is not a deep sermon, but it's the sermon the church needs to be preaching. We really should be preaching this. You are the church. You know the four C's now. You wrote them in your Bible. So when someone asks you, just turn. Say, just look at this one verse. This is the gospel in a nutshell. God loved us. God gave. I must believe. And then I get to experience. Would you stand with me? You're going to have to humor me just a little bit today. Because I tell you, through this whole thing, I'm just trying to follow the Spirit of the Lord. My intention was to go through the last part of this chapter. I'm telling you, God kept waking me up at night. He kept saying, no, no, go hit this verse. Tell him about the four C's. I said, Pastor, I said, God, I've done that on many occasions. This church knows that. Tell him again. Tell him again. Tell him again. God kept me up almost all night one night. Tell him again how much he loves you. See if we understand how much he loves us. It makes us want to live closer to him. Don't you want to please your dad? Maybe it was your mom that was so special to you growing up, and you wanted to please your mom, right? I don't know about you. I want to please Father God, our Father, which art in heaven. I want to live my life, and I want my life to be pleasing to Him. Would you just close your eyes? Most of you know the prayer, but it's not the prayer that saves us. It's the surrender. It's the surrender. It's the confession. God, I'm a sinner in great need of a Savior. It's possible you've never prayed that prayer. You know, I think there's a lot of people in churches today that maybe you felt like just coming to church was good enough. You might be like me. You were just sort of born on the church pew. I don't care how many generations you go back and say they were all godly people. They don't count anymore. What counts is you. Do you believe? Come on. Do you believe? Have you surrendered? Jesus. Come on. Just tell the Lord. I surrender today. Forgive me of my vast and many sins. The ones that I committed all my life, God. I want you to forgive every one of them. You said that you would erase them, that you would forget them and cast them as far as the east is from the west. God, I ask you, Lord, forgive me. Come into my life, and may I experience that eternal, everlasting life with Jesus. May I experience the power of God like I've never seen before. And God, because of this great price that you paid for me, you've invited me into your home. And I want you to know I'm going to start coming regularly. I want to regularly fellowship with you. I want to regularly talk with you. I want to regularly receive your mercy and grace and your help in my time of need. Jesus, we are your church. We are your servants. Inhabit us, fill us, and make us the light of the world. Make us the vessel that the light of the world shines through. Make us those little stones that you so want to inhabit. God, I love you. And I receive your love today. And I receive your forgiveness. In the precious name of Christ we pray. Amen. Amen. Let's sing that so we can just celebrate for a moment. Lord, I thank you, Lord Jesus. It's not a complicated gospel. You made it simple, God, for simple people like me could understand this gospel. I can understand, Lord, that I must believe to receive. But you are so wonderful, gracious, full of mercy. You didn't leave me the way I was, but you have forgiven me. Thank you, Jesus. Now, Saint, you hear me and you hear me loud. I know who I am in Christ today. I know my sins are forgiven. I am covered in the blood of Christ. I'm not going to believe the lie any longer. I believe the truth of the Word of God, that a person as dark as I was, as deep in sin as I was, I am not that person any longer. I am covered in the blood of Jesus, and I've been taken, the Lord, of sin and been taken away from my account. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. In the precious name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Let's give the Lord a hand. Father, we worship you. Oh, bless the Lord, oh my soul. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. Hallelujah, hallelujah, Brother Teddy. Quit listening to the wrong voice. I can't tell you how many times I've been to someone's house that is nearing the end, and they'll say something like this: "Do you think I'm ready?" Think it not strange. John the Baptist did the same thing. Is he the one, or should we look for another? At the end, when he knew the end was close, you begin to doubt. Don't doubt. You hear me? Don't doubt. Yes. His blood has forgiven you. His blood. Satan's going to come to you and say, "Ah, maybe not you." Yes, me. I'm a whosoever. Will you say that with me? I'm a whosoever will. Isn't that good? Thank you, Jesus. I'll shut up.
Lord, yes. If this morning was the first time that you had ever prayed that prayer, tell somebody. Just let somebody know. We want to rejoice with you. We want to welcome you into the family. You know, so please, if that was your first time, we definitely want to know. That would be wonderful. Real quick, if you requested a giving record for last year, it'd be back there on the welcome table. So swing by and grab that. If you need to request one and you forgot to, then let me or my wife know. We'll get you one. So raise your hand. Receive the Lord's blessing. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift his countenance upon you and give you peace. Nothing missing, nothing broken. Go in peace and serve the Lord. God bless.